My husband Doug and I returned in the middle of July from a couple of weeks of vacation. And if you all remember back to the first few weeks of July, at least down in Chicago, there was really a lot of rain. My rain gauge was like full when we got home, and so was my garden full of weeds. So it wasn't long before I was out there pulling weeds. And I don't know about you, but for me, there's something really satisfying about that task. I mean, sorting out the good and the bad, the desirable from the undesirable, and then you get to stand back and look at this neat and tidy flower bed. So wouldn't it be great if the world were our garden and we could pull up the weeds? If we could get rid of all the evildoers? Wouldn't churches be better off without the troublemakers and the wet blankets that, you know, smother every good idea, or the ones who have lots and lots of ideas but won't ever lift a finger to make any of them become a reality? Not that there's anyone who fits any of those descriptions here. Of course, there's not. But wouldn't it be great if you get rid of that person who's just a thorn in your side at work? It sure would make Monday mornings more pleasant, wouldn't it? I mean, all that's impossible. We know it. But I don't think it stops us from trying, or at least wishing. There's a harshness. There's a kind of ruthlessness in our national mood these days. Don't you see it? Folks have chosen up sides, and each side seem to think that the folks on the other are irredeemably awful. And I have to admit, I can fantasize a lot of cruel fates for the folks. We're told, you know, that it's really only about a dozen folks who are reported to be behind the vast majority of the disinformation about vaccines that's being poured onto social media. Wouldn't we all be better off without those people? Well, I wonder if maybe Jesus's story today, this strange story of weeds and wheat, might have a word for us. When we're trying to figure out what this rather odd story means, the location within Matthew's gospel, the place that it appears, is a hint. It helps us figure out what Jesus might have meant when he told this story. Because he tells the parable just as opposition to his ministry was growing. I imagine the disciples, you know, might even have been asking Jesus questions about the crowds around them and the mixture of people that was in those crowds. The disciples might have come to Jesus and said, "Look, Jesus, you know, most of these folks, they really want to hear what you have to say. They're searching for God. But do you see those two over there with those scowling looks on their faces? I'm not so sure about them. And what about that little group at the back? We really think that they're spies for the high priest. They're only here to get you into trouble. How can we get rid of them?" And as he so often did, Jesus answered with a story. A farmer planted good seed, and in the night, while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and planted weeds in the field and snuck away. Now, I mean, this is weird, right? I mean, this wasn't the wind blowing in weed seeds, and it wasn't seeds that dropped from, you know, the birds that were flying overhead or stuck in the fur of a squirrel. There's, nature has all kinds of ways to spread seeds around, but this wasn't nature. This was deliberate mischief to mess up the farmer's crop. And when the plant sprouted, they discovered also the weeds. And the worker said, "Should we pull them up?" And the farmer said, "No, because we can't do that without destroying the wheat as well. We'll wait and see. We'll let them both go together, and at harvest time, then we can sort it all out." Seems like with this story, Jesus is telling his disciples to cool it a bit. You know, turn down your righteous indignation just a notch or two, because you can't see the whole picture right now. You don't have all the information. Let's let God sort it out. It's true, isn't it, that sometimes it's hard to tell the good plants from the weeds? I mean, you know, sometimes I'm happily pulling away and I'll look at what's in my hand and I'll say, "Oh my gosh, that's a little bitty columbine that seeded itself here from that plant over there." Or you know, I'll pick a sprout up and realize that it's attached to the bee balm plant, that it's come up from a runner underneath the ground. It's hard to tell when plants are little sprouts what it is that they're going to turn out to be, right? But sometimes, even when plants are fully grown, it's not all that easy to discern, you know, what's the good stuff and what's not. I brought a bouquet this morning, and I'm gonna give you a hint. In this bouquet, half of this is from my garden and the other half is out of the alleys around my neighborhood. Do you have any guesses? Like, which is which? Can you tell the good stuff from, I'm sorry?
They're all good.
They're all good. Yeah. Yep. I mean, you know, forever and ever, Queen Anne's lace has been considered a weed, you know, it grows. But when you really look at it, it's actually pretty, right? I would love to have some Queen Anne's lace in my garden. I've tried a few times to transplant some, and I've never had any success. But, you know, goldenrod, actually, I didn't read and see who had these beautiful, beautiful flowers up on the communion table, but I'm pretty sure there's some goldenrod in that bouquet up there that I think was professionally done, right? But this is some prairie thing that grows in the alley about 7 or 8 feet tall, and it looks a lot like my black-eyed Susans. It's not all that easy. It takes some patience and discernment to sort out what's desirable and what's undesirable, even in a garden. So that's what I think Jesus is calling for here. That we need patience, we need discernment, we need perhaps a little humility, like Elaine pointed out in her story, when we go out into the world sorting things. It reminds me of an old story that's been told and retold for years in my family. When my father was very small, probably like 3 or 4, his family lived on a street in Pittsburgh that was had just been recently built. The houses were all new, and the little backyards didn't have any fences around them. And now my dad was allowed to play in his backyard, but he was not allowed to go to the neighbors. And he was reminded of this again and again: "Tommy, stay in our yard." So one day my grandmother looked out the kitchen window while she was washing dishes, and she saw my dad over in the neighbor's yard, and she marched out of the house in a huff and stomped over and grabbed him from behind and spanked him. But when she set the little boy down, she was shocked to see that it wasn't my dad. It was the neighbor's boy playing in his own backyard. How often have you and I rushed to judgment without having all the information? We need discernment. We need patience. We need a little humility. Because when we rush in to pull out the weedy ones, we often do more harm than good. There was a Netflix show that I found some comfort in during pandemic lockdown. Anne with an E. Has anybody watched Anne with an E on Netflix? It is an adaptation, and actually a really good, high-quality adaptation of the children's classic Anne of Green Gables. And it takes place in the 1890s on Prince Edward Island up in Canada. And Anne is this really bright and talkative orphan who sweeps into the lives of the couple who bring her into their home. She sweeps in like a whirlwind. She's impetuous. She's naive. She has a flair for melodrama. And on the first day of school, she is the center of attention because she is telling all kinds of stories about things that she's seen and heard in her very rough life up to this point, but without any idea that they're actually quite scandalous to these, you know, protected little girls that she's in school with. Her innocent classmates go home and repeat what they've heard, and soon all the mothers in town want Anne banned from school. You'll have to watch the first episode of Anne with an E for yourself to see the dramatic incident in which she shows the goodness of her character and wins over the town folks and is not kicked out of school. But it reminds me of the riled up crowds that are shouting at school board meetings, trying to pull the weeds out of their child's school these days. Whether it's a certain teacher's approach to teaching history class or a transgender child in the locker room, patience, humility, discernment are nowhere to be found. And with this story, Jesus is like holding up this huge caution sign over our rush to judgment in situations that are way more complicated than they seem at first. You know, I was not familiar with this parable until fairly recently. How many of you have heard this parable before, are familiar with the parable of the weeds and the wheat? Okay, yeah, you guys are good students of the Bible. But I think it is true that this is not as well known as, say, the Good Samaritan, right? It's not as well known as a lot of Jesus' other stories, and I think it's a shame because it's not just individuals, but the church has needed to listen to this story down through the centuries. I've been in a church where folks decided that the impure people needed to go. And it's not pretty. Think about the Crusades and how brutal and inhuman they were. And Europe's bloody wars between the Catholics and the Protestants. And how the Puritans used to whip the Baptists in the town squares in colonial America. Plenty of churches and church leaders still treat our LGBTQ sisters and brothers as if they're weeds that need to be dug out. We need to hear Jesus say, slow down, slow down. It's not always clear who's evil and who's good. Let God do the sorting. Well, and I think if we're honest, we really have to, we have to admit that there's kind of another complication in this whole consideration of wheat and weeds. And that's because the weeds are not just around us. They're within us too, aren't they? People are more complicated than plants. We're all a mix of wheat and weed. We're all a mix of good and bad. And some days, I'm not sure which one is winning in me. And people can change. A plant doesn't change. You know, if you plant a tomato seed, you get a tomato plant and it stays a tomato plant until the frost kills it in the fall. But God can transform people. God can change hearts and lives so that one who was evil becomes good. People are complicated. All right, so I think we've got the basic idea. Jesus is saying, don't try to root out the bad people because you can't always tell the difference and you'll probably hurt some good people in the process. And yet, on the other hand, this is one of those stories, one of those interpretations that comes with a but. Is Jesus telling us we're not to resist evil? That we shouldn't stand up for justice? That we just close our eyes to all the wrong and the harm that's going on in the world? Is that what Jesus means when he tells this story? That we should withdraw into our, you know, safe, comfortable lives and just let God sort it out someday? Are Christians to be passive and just let the world go by? I have wrestled with this text, with this story. And I cannot believe that that is how Jesus wants us to live it out. Because Jesus' whole ministry was about proclaiming God's kingdom of shalom. His life's work was to bring good news to the poor and release to the captives and sight to the blind and healing to the sick and welcome to the outcasts. Jesus' invitation was to come and to join God's beloved community, this new realm where grace and mercy hold sway, where we all work together to make sure that everyone has enough. And you can't do all those things that Jesus did without pushing back against evil. Everything Jesus did and taught was about unmasking fear and greed and exploitation and building a world that cherishes every life as of infinite worth. So how do we balance these two ideas? That we must resist evil, and yet we aren't to rush to judgment and try to dig out, pull out, eliminate the ones that we think are bad. How do we put these two together? I think the way is that we look at how Jesus resisted evil. Jesus didn't go after the Pharisees and try to root them out and try to create a Judaism with no Pharisees. He gathered a community of people that the Pharisees had rejected. He gathered up the weeds that his society had pulled and he proclaimed God's love for them. Jesus didn't raise an army to chase out the oppressive Romans. He planted seeds of a new kingdom. God's kingdom, God's realm that is a just and loving alternative, not just to the Roman Empire, but to all empires throughout all time. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus spent his life planting good rather than uprooting evil. And Paul seems to advocate this very same approach in his letter to the Romans when he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's been a few years now since the documentary movie about Fred Rogers was out in theaters. Remember, the movie was called Won't You Be My Neighbor? It's about Mr. Rogers, who created the children's television show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I will never forget that movie. I wept. And there were people all around me snuffling in the theater. And at the end, you know, the whole audience applauded. It was a beautiful movie. It was a movie that was a portrait of goodness, not perfection, but goodness. And it illustrates really well what I'm talking about, because you can see Fred Rogers' indignation about bad television for kids. He hated it. That, you know, the kind of TV shows of people throwing pies in other people's faces, or cartoons that were full of violence. It really upset him. But what did he do? Did Mr. Rogers hurl insults at those TV shows? Did he shame their creators and their sponsors? Did he start a campaign to ban all the stupid, violent kids' shows? No. He created a good one. He created a television show that showed us how to honor childhood. He showed us how to respect children and their very complex emotional lives. He spoke up for children tirelessly. So let's be like that. Let's resist evil, not by rooting out the people that we think are bad, but by planting good. Stand with the vulnerable. Serve the poor. Speak up for the voiceless. Build community. But leave the weed pulling to God. Amen.